Jeremiah 6. Our text will be drawn from verse 16, but I want us to pray first and then briefly mention from verse 1 some of the verses down to here. The thing that struck me in the hymn, how little I know of thee. And yet what I do know is the joy and rejoicing of my heart. We serve such a good God. Never will in this lifetime get to the extent of His love. Well, we want it throughout all eternity. But it sure is good together with some people that are seeking that. In our worship, we'll be purer as we grow in grace and in knowledge. Our delight in Him will grow. Our joy in just gathering with the saints, just to meet with them, will continue to increase towards a blessing for us and a development for each of us in communion with the saints of God. Start in Jeremiah 6, and I want to end up, John was reading you about, and the language there in John 6 was the Jews. And I want us to go in Matthew and end up with him dealing with the Pharisees. But before we begin, would you bow with me as we seek his blessed face? Our Father, hallowed be Thy name. Honored, exalted, and lifted here in our midst this day and in the hearts of Your children. Lord, I know not all hearts. Matter of fact, Lord, I don't even know any hearts. Not even my own. But we have some idea of what's in our brothers and our sisters' hearts based on what's in ours. And it is that we might, as one people, captivated by the Spirit of God, ministered to from Thy Word, as He, the Spirit, opens our hearts, eyes, unstopped deaf ears, and give us an understanding heart. Lord, these truths are too great for a human mind to even begin to comprehend. And it is something that the saints will continue to experience as they grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless these dear souls. Exalt Thy name. Still our hearts and our minds, quieten them, O God. For we can't hear from You with a noisy mind. and the distractions that go on upstairs in all of us. It's a battle in worship, in prayer, wherever we are. It's a constant battle with the old fallen nature. We would at times cry out with the great apostle, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death, this body of sin?" But he gave us the answer. "I thank my God through Jesus Christ. Therein is deliverance. Give us of thy Spirit and open thy word, we pray, in Christ's name and for thy honor and great namesake. Amen." Now I ask you, and you just stay in Jeremiah 6. But I want to read a verse from Jeremiah 12. I don't think it has anything to do with that in Jeremiah 6. But it's talking here. "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they've wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan?" All of us have little annoyances. It's just called life. It's called living. Sometimes the physical catches our attention. But for the most part, all of us, all my lifetime and years, all we've done is just run with footmen. But you mark this down. They, the footmen, wearying us. What are you going to do? How are you going to exist? How will you contend with horses? And if in our land we've had peace all our lifetime, here in the States, not in the world, we've had peace. But when that's gone, and God calls you to cross the swelling Jordan, how's that going to affect you? How are you going to hold up? One thing you've got to do is finish. Woe to the man or woman, boy or girl that begins and does not finish. And that which is coming, I have no idea. But there's just that inner awareness that the days shall continue to get darker. Eventually affecting the church. All right. Jeremiah 6. I guess I said that you might be on the watch out. That I might be as that watchman sitting upon the tower and saying, "Here's what's coming." And warn you that you might be prepared. Now you've got peace. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Store it up within as much as you can. I don't know all that you will be faced with. But in Jeremiah 6, verse 1, The language goes out, the call of God goes out for the children of Benjamin. Get out of the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was that shiny city set on a hill. The false prophets, idolatrous worship. Self-exaltation. That beautiful city is about to be destroyed. Blow the trumpet in Tekoa and set up the sign of fire in Beth-Hakkerem, for evil appeareth out of the north and great destruction. And then he tells you what Zion was like. A comely, delicate woman. But trouble's on the way. Verse 6, she is holy. Oppression in the midst of her. She's just like a fountain, verse 7, that casted out her wickedness. One day folk are going to walk by, say, what happened to that city? She was as a beautiful, delicate, comely, stately woman. Get out of her. She's not that anymore. Now verse 8, be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee. Ye at Kirith, be thou instructed. Lest our God depart, and lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. And in verse 14, he tells what the false prophets that have been preaching to her have been crying out, peace, peace. Well, all they did with their message was they healed the hurt of my daughter, of my people, slightly. They didn't have a cure, but they gave her a little remedy that helped her, and she was okay with that until the next time when she was hurt and needed healing. And these lying devils in the place of men, in men, in the pulpits, crying out, peace, peace. God said there was none. Verse 15, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they should fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. And our text this morning, thus saith the Lord, number one, stand ye in the way. Number two, ask for the old paths. Old paths, which was the good way. Ask for the old paths. A good way, and when you find out, and when God gives you those old paths, you walk therein. And here's the promise of God, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But you're talking about a group of people that were eat up with ignorance, to say the least. When God told them, if you will do this, you shall have rest. Just find, ask for, find the old paths. When you find them, get in and walk in them. And when you start walking in them after you found them, then your soul shall find rest. Do you not think it very stupid for somebody to say, we will not walk therein? I doubt that we would say in words that, but sometimes our action might say, nah, I got a better way over here. I got a more pleasant path. I've got an easier way. I don't want the old paths. I like the new ones. And yes, therein you shall never find rest. You'll always, that soul will be in you, be like a little cork on top of the water, bubbling up and down. But the child of God that finds the old paths after asking for them, they'll lie down in peace. Sweet will be their rest. And you will find more and more of God in the old way. In the late 50s, under our president, Dwight Eisenhower, they passed a law that there would be highway construction, interstate. And it would run from the East Coast all the way to the West Coast. Of course, since then, cities have built bypasses and it's been updated time and again. I think he asked for $24 billion to do it, and they ended up spending over $400 billion. That was in the late 50s. But before the first piece of equipment was ever brought into a site, capable designers had gotten together, engineers, and then surveyed, like Lewis and Clark did when finding the route to the West Coast. But these had a lot of good equipment. And they designed the way, which way the road would go, the highways would go. And they brought it back and said, here's the plans, here's the route. I don't think there would have been anyone of those running the heavy machinery that would have said, well, it'll be easier if we make a little bend right here where they've got it straight. Or if we'll bypass this. No. Capable designers. Those that had studied the lay of the land. And the path from the East Coast to the West Coast. And they brought it back and said, here's the way to build your interstate. Yeah, but when it comes to us, infinite wisdom. And you wrestle with that. Infinite wisdom. Design the old path. Always was a good way, and all the children of God that walked therein walked with rest in their souls. And yet infinite wisdom said here, ask for the old paths. No, we will not walk therein. Who is this that's telling us? Setting this before us. We've got a shorter route to get there, easier route. We're more capable of seeing what's best for us. We don't need the way that God has laid it out. They said in another place here, we are lords within ourselves. We don't have to come to you. We can figure out the path. We can walk the way that we design. And it'll be better. We know best for us. We are lords and self. We will come no more to thee. Now, folk, I and some of you here have seen two generations above me depart. And with each passing generation, we've lost good examples. We've lost good dress wear. We've lost morals. We've lost the teachings of our old fathers. Just like Israel, we're living in a different time. We know what's best for us today. What grandmother or grandfather or great-grandmother, what they went through, that's outdated. Oh, they raised their families. They kept them all together until the children were grown. Many of them raised them out in rural areas, making a living on the grounds, from the ground that they owned. Why are we going to go back there? Because every time a generation passes, a generation that studied, knew God, a generation that did not have fast ways of communication, or did not have fast ways of travel in the first part or two generations ago. And they'd get the children, and that Sunday was a day of rest. And then all gather at the old church building. And there they sit quietly, listening for a word from the Lord. Their manner of living, their standards, no, outdated. We forged our own path. We've determined what is best for us. And we that had instruction, an example of right living impressed upon us, we, my generation, we were caught, or are caught, staying in the framework of what they taught us, how they lived before us. I'm not saying all of them were Christians, but it was rare to find one that would not work to support and take care of his family. So I've got a choice. Do I stay in the framework of the teachings and behavior? Well, we've moved on now and God's getting us back to the old doctrines of Scripture. But because our parents did not have that, did not mean that they were not Christians. I don't know who were, who were not. But they weren't well educated. But God took fishermen, unschooled, and kept them with Him for 3 years and instructed them, and they were as capable of preaching and teaching when He left as anybody on the earth. I don't know. Did they get through elementary school? I doubt any of them through high school. They probably were needed to work. Mending the nets, fishing at night, selling the fish. But they knew the Lord. Now the choice for me, stay with the morals that I was taught, an example set before us. Or do I to be socially acceptable by the generation below me compromise a bit? Our excuse when it comes to this, well, if I give up this, if I'm not as strict here, if I lay this aside, then I will keep harmony and peace in the family, and I'll give this up just to be a help to the generation under me. That's your first mistake. Well, I don't want to shut the door on the upcoming generation. I'll just give up some things. Oh, I can still live a dedicated life, but I want to be accepted by the generation under me. If you start worrying about all that, you're already off the path. Two so-called friends. One of them stayed in religion, in the old system, knowing what I knew as far as doctrine. But he said, I don't need to preach that. And he justified leaving some of the old paths to be able to preach to a large congregation. I'll be more help if I lay aside this doctrine at that point. And he denied the truth that he would not declare. Just on this, I will have more people to preach to, and I can help more people on to know Jesus, and that's more important than any of your doctrines here. There was another that visited here for a month or two. And after the first service here, he said, I heard more truth in that one service there than I have in several months of the previous church. And after about 4 weeks, he came and said, but I need to leave. I got to get where my children are. And his children were in one of these churches where the music is so loud that sometimes the neighbors complain. And they've got this big band on the stage. They've got this screen on the wall projection with the songs for them to follow, that little bouncing ball. And he gave up truth under the blind guise of being able to help my children on to know God. Moms and dads, nobody has ever helped a child when they begin to compromise. Ask for and stay on the old paths. With that first little thought that the devil may throw at you, you'd be more help if you give up this. You don't have to give up much. You don't have to give up all of it. Just this. That's just the beginning of what he's going to ask of you. And when you compromise, all it does is it lowers your standard of living. But you got to be like them to win them, is the old cliche. No. If you're not completely different, if your lifestyle does not say to the crowds around you, I have a living Lord, and I'm following Him, I cannot leave this old book, for therein God by His Spirit opened my eyes, and I saw Jesus. And I was brought to Him. I cannot give up the book to win the generation below me or two generations below me. The children or the grandchildren. Now, I intend on coming back here. And even though I'm turning and asking you to turn, I'm still with this. Ask for the old path. Now, if I have to ask, that means that I've lost them. It means I've walked away. I got out of the way somehow, not intentionally. But now it's time, and surely this is pointed, to whom I have no idea, but I hope somebody here will have a word from the Lord to your heart. Ask for the old way. In Matthew 15, as I told you previously, Jesus dealing with the Pharisees here, the religious group. The church guys that knows everything. Matthew 15. I'll begin with verse 12 for the sake of time. But all those verses in this chapter above that would be good reading. And after all that Christ has said to the Pharisees in verse 12, then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this? And children, I don't have enough fingers to count the preachers I know and stepped out of the old path, gave up a lot of truth so as not to offend their hearers. Disciples, Lord, don't you know that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now that gets all of us. I've got to have one instructing me that sees. He can tell me where the path is. He can tell me how far back I've got to go to begin exactly where I stepped off the path. Let him alone. They'll be rooted up, or God, if they be the Lord's children, they will be brought back. They will be set straight. And their departure will cost them something by way of discipline. Let them alone. And that's sad. Then answered Peter, verse 15, and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Now, how long am I going to have to instruct you? I'm going to leave soon. You've been walking with me for some time now. Don't you understand? Don't you know? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever eateth in at the mouth goeth out, goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draw? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Peter, do you not understand? Will you also go away? He said to him. Sadly, he went to the cross with the disciples, having forsaken him. The moms and dads, when Israel was about to enter Canaan, Moses came to him from the Lord and he said, you destroy all the nations in Canaan and all their idols and all their gods. Why? What's the reason we have to destroy all those people and all those gods? The Lord knew. He said, this is what will happen if you don't. You'll make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land and you'll go whoring after their gods. And it won't be long till your sons see their daughters or their daughters, your daughters see the sons in that land, and they'll take them to wife or for husband. And guess what's going to happen? Yoke with unbelievers. One of you is going to say this is right, and the other one say it doesn't matter. And the Lord came in Nehemiah stood up and said, you've had children, you've taken wives of Ashdod, and your children speak half in the language of Ashdod and half in the language of the Jews. Nobody could understand them. And you mom and dads, you better get on one page here. And you need, ask for, and stay on the old path. For how easily we all are drawn into a compromise. And go after one that has drifted off the path to get them back on. And the son or the daughter or your brother or sister's family. They send you an invitation. Billy's birthday is Sunday at 2:00. I know you like to attend church on Sunday, but that's the only day we could work this in. And you'd like to know what they were doing on Saturday. But they were too busy, so they put it on Sunday. And the grandmother says, now, William Sr., we need to go. Or the husband said, we need to go. I know we go to church. I know that. And one of them says, but it won't hurt us to miss one. And then it won't be long till you be asked to miss two. And you'll stray so far off the old path, having lost the voice of God, you won't know where you are. And then you try to talk to the son, to the daughter, to the grandchildren. Tell them about your Lord, and you will sing to them as one that mocketh. But all you did was just give up one Sunday. That meant your priorities were over here. Folk, the great enemy to your soul never begins with just one giant step. It's just a little step. How easily Israel was led off the old paths. Just one little step. And then another little step until they're so far off the path that they've got to have God to show them. Ask, pray. Well, why'd you leave the old path? Well, we didn't mean to. Don't know how we got here. And that's the same method that the enemy of God and of His Son and of His Spirit will work towards you. They will never begin with a sweeping change. Give up all this so that you can win family. No, he doesn't ask that of you. He just comes and quietly whispers, "Yea, hath God said." The wise woman would have walked away immediately and found out where her husband was. But she carried on communication with the serpent. And Eve was deceived. He never asked you, the old serpent, never asked you to throw away your Bibles or your beliefs or your faithfulness. He just perverts it a little. Just a little as time passes until you're down that forbidden path and you got some following you. And I have no doubt that even here there might be one or two, hope not many, that would say, "You can say what you want to. I like my lifestyle. And it's all right, and I'm not offending God with it in any way." Well, it's not about you now. It's about everybody that's watching you. Like Bunyan's Christian, no one ever came to him and said, "Follow this path over here." No. The enemy to your soul said, "This way is a little quicker. And this path over here will be a little easier. And all you got to do is follow this." And Christian didn't have a getting home place. He had to go all the way back to where he left that path. Like you traveling down the interstate, sometimes you go for miles and miles before you can find an exit because you missed the exchange when they crossed. And that's what you, as a Christian, if you're a Christian, get off. That's what you've got to go back where you got off. Well, you've been talking about God in the Old Testament now, and I don't like that God. And you can justify getting off the path. But the old path, that old way brings you to a place where you are actually acquainted with the living God. And you stay on the path that God has laid out for you. Not only will you become acquainted, you get to know Him. And you'll begin to love Him. And when you open the hymn book, the hymn, "To God be the glory," your heart is singing. Because you've met that God and you know His Son. Well, yeah, but you're still talking about a God that he's not what He was today. He's not who He is today, it's what He was yesterday. In the old economy, God was seen in the law and its perfections, and all of us, well, that's the beginning place of getting on the path. You see God like that, and no man can attain to such a height. And an unsaved man will look at God in an unfavorable light. But you ever let somebody come under the consciousness of their sins and rebellion, and their eyes are open, and God points out the serpent on the pole? Well, you found the doorway to the path. You found the entrance into glory there beneath the cross. You lay down your armor of rebellion. You repent. Now with faith you see God. Not as that strict old school professor demanding perfection. You in Christ see God as reconciled. You see God as one of infinite mercy and infinite love and infinite grace. Where before you saw God sitting up there on the judgment seat, you condemned, could not enter in until He took you to the door. And there you met Christ, and now you see through Christ the smile of God looking on you. Before His hand was up and said, "You can't come here, you can't enter here." But when you find Christ in Him forgiveness, you're reconciled and you begin to see that the love of God was so great He gave His only begotten Son, that anybody that would believe in Him should never perish. That old path, that good way, untold millions before us have found rest for their souls. Children, you've got so much to do. I know you got family. I know you got jobs. I know you got things to do when you get home. But if you don't take a little time out, and you don't see God that day, or you put it off until tomorrow because you're too tired, tomorrow's not going to help. You've got a second day of work, and
The night's rest just didn't recover you completely from the day before's work. And before you know it, you haven't talked to God in a long time. Ask for the old paths. And see, I can't tell you what that path is for you. I know the door is Christ. I know it's a pathway of holiness, taking you into glory to look directly into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something I can't grasp right now. As for the old path, but I'll lose my friends. Better that than your soul lose a Savior. It's better that you be opposed to the path of religion. Though religion has made it easier and made a better way. Folk, I know that you can go many places and the old preacher's not talking down to you. Or not telling you to stop and search and see if you might be in the way, on the path. No, he's always encouraging you because you are. But see, I don't know that for a fact. I have good hope for many. But I don't know. And it's a heavy weight on small, shrinking shoulders. I think giving an account for myself is too much, but then having to give an account because I wasn't faithful to your soul. Well, religion sets an easier way, dear ones. But you depart from the path that infinite wisdom design, you go alone. All by yourself. But I got more friends now. No, you don't. You don't know what friendship is until Christ becomes your friend, and then you can start comparing other people. If you stay on the path, if you've walked off, if you're straight, and you ask for it, and you get back on, you don't walk alone. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why, David? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You'll find that on the path God has designed, it's got few. You'll find the smallness of the number. Because religion made a wider gate and a wider path much easier to get in. Folk, on the old path, you'll come to a lot of crossroads in your life. A lot of them. There'll be a lot of obstacles in your life that you have to face on the old path. That will not be found on the path religion has made. The one they made is very smooth. You can keep company with a lot of people. But you lost the one that sticketh closer than a brother. And will join himself. Many afflictions, many persecutions, a lot of adversity. But everything, if you'll endure it patiently, will only enhance glory for you. We all are going to come to that final day. And your room might be filled We're people, but if you don't have Christ, it'll be a miserable departure from this old life. A lot of adversity, but that makes you strong. A lot of persecution, a lot of afflictions, but if you ever be of service to a fellow traveler, you will have to have gone through what they are now going through. Paul said, I comfort you with the same comfort that I receive. Well, Paul, where'd you get that? From God, when I went through it. God comforted me. Now I can come along and pass it along to you, disheartened one. Oh, count it not strange when you fall into divers temptations. Every day it will not seem to you that the friend of friends is with you, but you just stay on the path. He was there all the time. He just wanted you to develop your own legs and strength without him having to hold you. Sooner or later, he's going to join himself to you. The old path goes over high mountains and deep valleys. It crosses flooded rivers. Sometimes on dry ground, sometimes in a boat. We're all alone out there, but he sent you. Just row on, though you're making no progress. Before long, you'll see him come walking on the waters. In the deep valleys, the flooded rivers, the desert places, it's just to develop you and to endear your relationship to the great shepherd of your soul. Follow on. For any departure, no matter how small, you are at risk for great peril and trouble. Sometimes a dangerous path. You had smooth sailing, walking with the footmen, but the horses and their riders come. Path will become dangerous, but you'll have a faithful shepherd that'll care for you and provide. Long before you ever got here, long before the world was ever created, God had a specific path just for you. And it was worked out with the greatest of care and in the greatest of love. See, that's what I want you to look at when you're tempted to take a step aside. Look at the heart of Jesus, the heart of your Father. Years passed before you ever knew Him. But He knew. He's going to meet you, convert you, put you on the right path. And that path He had for you before He ever said, let there be light. You can cross all across the United States now. One or two reaching deep down into Florida all the way across. But the path you're on God designed it. And we in this land, children for the most part, we've lost the old paths. And religion has come up with an unknown God and an unknown way. And it sure is easy. And you will at times be tempted. Just to sit back and take it easy now. Don't stray. If you have strayed, as we sing, as you head home, ask for the old paths at wherein you've walked before. And this, upon the authority of the Word of God, I promise you, you shall find rest for your souls. May God help every soul here to run to Jesus. Call upon Him as Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, ask Him for forgiveness. He'll set you on the right path.